Joshua chapter 1. Be praying about that meeting and be inviting. You might know somebody you work with. They don't have to be a specific young person. You might have been saved. You might not have been saved in about a year or two, or you might have just got back in church and got excited about the Lord. It'd be good for you to be here. Amen. Amen. Brother Robbie. Brother Robbie's a good preacher. You ever heard him preach, brother? He's a good preacher, ain't he? He's a good preacher. He'd be preaching Friday night and Saturday morning. Say, man, I've got some plans. I'm telling you, for the sake of your children, I'd change them plans.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Why don't you do this? Show your children in life what's the most important thing there is. I told someone today, I was talking to him, I was in that meeting yesterday, Brother Gary, and this preacher preached. The pastor said this. The pastor said, man got to preach. He said, how long have I got? He said, well, take about 30 minutes. He said, these other folk. That's very fair. Well, he advertised for 10. And then he got down there to his text. He said, does my time start when I read my text? Yeah, amen, Brother Dan. His 30 turned into 50. You know what I said? Preach on, friend. Preach on. This is your last one right here. The young man told me that one night. He said, I know you said take 10 minutes. He said, but what I got's real good, and I got to tell it. It was better to him than it was me. I said, go ahead on with it. Go ahead. It's your last time. So why do you want to be dogmatic about that? Because that showed everybody in that church that what that pastor said meant absolutely nothing to that preacher. That's why if I say, you a Sunday school teacher, I expect you to teach in a certain way. I expect you to teach in a certain way. For the sake of the children. For the sake of your class. Well, we got all that out of the way, didn't we? Everybody feels like shouting and running laps. And, amen. Who's willing to leave that group? Amen. Okay, the man in the corner over there in the purple shirt. That's who you're looking at? All right. All right. Joshua. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses. Remember that. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. I wonder, was they Baptist? Because if Moses is commanding them, if he'd have been pastoring in 2017, I could have heard what some of his members would have said. Who are you talking to? You trying to tell me what to do? The Lord said that He commanded them. Is that what your Bible says? Amen. I pray that you've got a King James Bible. Amen. He said, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shalt not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then thou shalt have good success. Sounds like we've got a good recipe for doing well in life, don't we? I've seen churches, and you have too. I've wondered why for so long that they never could just get over a little hump, get over some things. I don't know. I asked Earl Hughes about a church one time. I said, Brother Earl, I've known that church forever. It seemed like it's always been a struggle. I said, what causes that? Earl Hughes is probably one of the wisest men I've ever met. He said, well, I don't know. Brother David Gibbs said, wise counsel will sometimes say, I don't know. He said, woe unto counsel that always has the answer. I believe we could all put a big amen right there. He said, have not I commanded thee, verse 9, be strong. And it seems like we don't get through this one time. The Lord's trying to really stress this point. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. He's stressing that. Don't you forget, wherever you go, I'm going to be there. Whatever you go through, I'm going to be there. Whatever problems in life you face, I know about them. Father, I pray you'd help me. God, please touch our hearts. Thank you for these good folks that's turned out tonight. Help us, Lord, to be able just to please you. If we can please you, everybody else will be happy. Because you live in them. Help us, I pray, oh God. In Jesus' name I ask, amen. You can be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Moses was no doubt one of the greatest men of God that's ever been written about in the Bible. I mean, from the beginning of his life to the very end. From the beginning of his life, you can see the hand of God in his life and on him. At the end of his life, who was there? It was the Lord. It was the Lord. The Bible says that Michael, the archangel, had a little confrontation with the devil as they were disputing over the body of Moses. Remember that? Well, I mean, you know, there ain't nothing the devil likes more than to just to degrade God's people. Have you ever been in a crowd, you trying to be a witness? Maybe you just witnessing to somebody, or maybe you might have been just reading your Bible, or you might have bowed your head at lunch and prayed and asked God to bless the food you had there. And somebody had to say something smart, negative about it, you know. I was listening to a preacher preach one day, and he was talking about how that he's talking about cell phones. And I believe that, you know, cell phones are a wonderful little invention. I believe it's like anything else. It can be used wrong. Amen. I mean, listen, you can take your cell phone, and if you've got a smartphone, it's probably smarter than you. And I've got a smartphone, and I know it's smarter than me. I'm not going to argue about that. Amen. Amen. It locks up, and I don't even know how I locked it up. And I can't get stuff gets on there. And I told Ashlyn the other day. I said, how'd I do that? She said, I don't know, Dad. And I said, well, get it off. And I don't know how to do that stuff, Brother Mike. I get tempted really to take a ball peen hammer to it sometimes. But you can take anything. And that preacher, I was listening to him, and boy, he's tearing up cell phones, and tearing up people that own cell phones. And the only way you could make him happy to justifiably have a cell phone and make him happy was to do like he did. Didn't I mention something about that a while ago? About them Sunday school teachers that, unless you get like me, come on, do not lock down on me right here. Especially if you're a Sunday school teacher. Don't make ugly faces at me. I can see that you don't agree. I'm thinking, Brother Gary, if he felt like the only way to justifiably have a cell phone and use it for God was to lay it on the altar and give it to the Lord. I don't care. If everybody in here wants to get up after I get finished, come to the altar, take your cell phone, lay it on the altar, give it to the Lord. Have it anointed in the Spirit. Slain, I'll kick it off in the floor. Amen. Amen. I don't care. But if you're going to do that, do everything. Because you tell me about how you're doing all that. You don't know. I'm listening real good. I might not be the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I promise you, I've got a test I'm fixing to lay out there for you. And it wasn't long. He come by and sat down where we was eating at. I said, tell me, good brother, have you been doing any fishing lately? He did not know. This is only a test. He said, oh yeah, I've been going, been doing. I said, yeah. You didn't mention laying that boat on the altar. I was just wondering about that, you know. All the way. You know what God said to Joshua? He said, I promised Moses I'd be with him. Now, Moses went through some real big issues in life, and we're going to look at them back over in the book of Exodus. But there's just a few of them because there's so many things you couldn't preach it all in one night, what Moses went through. But you know, if we just look at Moses' birth, how that the law was put out there that Pharaoh wanted to kill him. And when it come down to this time, we were talking the other day about a mother loving her son and how much that they would be, how far they'd be willing to go for their sons. Literally, this woman, I believe with all my heart, she prayed with such a fervent prayer as she makes this basket to put him in, has saturated this whole operation in prayer that her son would survive. And I think about what he said as I was with my servant Moses. Would you agree with me? He was with Moses when he was in a basket floating in a river. He was with Moses. You can flip over there if you'd like to in the book of Exodus, chapter number 2, and we'll just look at a few little things right here. He said, as I was with Moses, in Joshua chapter 1, verse number 5, he said, so I will be with thee. You know, that ought to encourage us to know that he took such precious and perfect care of Moses. And then he told Joshua the same thing. I'm going to take just as good a care of of you as I did Moses. You know what I like hearing from time to time, Brother Leo? Somebody that will stand up and testify about how good God's been to them and supplied their every need. Amen. I like hearing. I like it to go further than that, Brother Alex. I like to hear about how he's paid the light bill and how he bought the groceries and provided them a way of transportation. But I also like to hear on the flip side of that how he wouldn't let them do some things and maybe how he took things from them to keep them safe and save their life. I've told it so many times. The first car I had, I only had it just a couple of weeks, and it got crushed from the back end. And you know, I'm honest with you, God had to do that because I was setting that vehicle up as a false god. You can take anything, whatever it is you love. If you're not careful, that thing that you love so much will become a god to you. It might be your job. It might be a possession. It might be your money. It might be your place. It could be anything. It could be yourself.
Right.
Say, how can I become a god? Have you never seen them guys on TV that just stand in front of a mirror and look at their muscles and kiss them?
Yeah.
Amen. Praise God, my neck ain't long enough to kiss my muscles. Amen. And then if I did, I'd be saying, was that one? I don't know. Like a muscle right there. Go ahead and laugh, Brother Aubrey. I can see you wanting to. Amen. Amen. I'm saying people can become their own god. Oh, I'm going to do what I want to. I'm telling you, I've got me. It's my day off Saturday. Sunday's the only day I got. I'm going to go and I'm going to rest and enjoy myself. What about the Lord?
Yeah.
What about the Lord? Me and Brother Darnell talking today about how folk line up things to do on Wednesday. The chiropractor wants you to come in on Wednesday, and the doctor wants you to come in on Wednesday, and everybody, they both, the accountant and the lawyer, they want to see you on Wednesday. I said, Wednesday ain't a good day for me. It ain't a good day. I got church Wednesday night. Amen. I got to go to the doctor here pretty soon. And I told him in the beginning, I said, listen, a lot of our folk, they've had this stuff done before, and when they do, they got to miss Sunday night because y'all schedule them on Monday. And I said, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, Sunday night's not a good time for me. Sometimes you just got to tell them. Let them know. Amen. And if God will take care of me, God will take care of you. And if God will take care of you, God will take care of me. He said, as I took care of my servant Moses, I'll take care of you, Joshua. You know what? Sometimes we just forget. Is God taking care of me right now? Is God doing something right now? Is this the work of God? Or am I just living the life? You're going to have to read your Bible to find out how God works. You'll get back to reading your Bible. You'll find out that there's some things God does and some things God don't do. And when you see the hand of God working through the Word of God, then you'll start recognizing the work of God in your life. Somebody please help me right here just a little bit. I'm looking over here in Exodus chapter number 2. The Bible said he was a goodly child. She hid him for 3 months. Listen, I don't blame that woman. I don't blame her. I'd have hit him for 4 months if I'd had to. I'd have hit him for 30 months if I'd have had to. If I could have done it, you mothers would have done the same. And you fathers should have helped them. That's not such what I fix to throw in there. The Bible said when she could no longer hide him, verse 3, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and dabbed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. She laid him in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. I don't know if you understand what that meant or not, but let me just break it down in some St. Mary Georgia language. Look up here at me just a minute. That mama built a little basket. I believe she wove a basket. And I believe she put the stuff that was necessary on the inside that would dry and harden and seal it so that this basket would float. I read about another vessel that was pitched without and within. And it floated. And thank God, it preserved a family. Amen. Get back to Moses. You all know about Noah. Now, the mother, there ain't no way, Van, you wouldn't do this. You wouldn't do this. You wouldn't do it. You wouldn't do it. You wouldn't do it. You, nor you, nor you, nor you, nor any other lady in this church would have took that basket and just shoved it out there in that river without just laying over it and crying and praying first. Ain't no way. I can't even imagine how this woman felt. But the Bible said that God was with him. But the problem was that God did not tell this mother that he was with him. And there's been a lot of times that you're going to go through some things that the Lord, but he didn't specifically write in the Word of God that he's going to be there with you while that child is going through some kind of an emergency situation down there at the emergency room. But you've already read where he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. So I guess that just kind of covers everything. We ought to be reminded that covers everything. I mean, whatever they're going through, that covers everything. Whatever's wrong with him down there at the hospital, that covers everything. But hey, if he shoots himself in the foot and just being plumb goofy playing with a gun, that covers everything. Amen. If they get out there horse playing with a car and have a bad wreck and bangle themselves up and get crippled for life, that covers everything. That's everything. It's everything. God said, I'll be there for everything. But we forget that sometimes. We forget that. So now here she is. I believe in all my heart she prayed. And she prays. I'm telling you, Brother John, ain't no way I can believe that she wanted to push that thing out there and let it go.
Oh, yeah.
If she's any kind of a mother like all the mothers around here, I believe she'd have found the cleanest place where she could have seen in the water. I believe she'd have been looking for snakes and alligators. Anything that would have been dangerous, she wouldn't want to put them there. And then she finally just... And you know what she bet? I bet she did. I bet she stood right there and watched till he was out of sight. And she left. She left. But one didn't leave. One stayed. His sister had already made up her mind. She didn't even know that God was using her. But she's made up her mind, I'm going to stay until somebody finds him. Didn't he tell Joshua? He said, just like for Moses, I won't ever leave you.
Right.
I'll be there for you.
Amen.
Now, Joshua went through battles that Moses didn't.
Right.
Joshua fought wars that Moses wasn't faced with.
Amen.
But one of the things that Moses had forgotten within his life when he did fight battles, when he did go through storms, that some of them storms were so horrific that they just physically, literally wore him out. Wore him out. Tired. You ever been like that? I feel like that Sunday. I went home, took all my daily medicines, got me a little snack, went to bed. And I don't know what time it was. I was just tired. Y'all are like that sometimes. You come home through the day. You work all day. And you're like, if I can just prop my feet up. If he'll just massage my feet. My daddy had real problems with his congestive heart failure and his diabetes, Brother Jeff, and his feet would swell. You know what I'm talking about? And his legs would swell. My mama didn't never mind. My mama would sit down on the floor in front of him and just sit there and rub his feet. We're living in a different era. We're living in a different time zone. I'm wondering if the Lord's with some of y'all or not. Husband, wife, if you can't be a servant to each other, you ain't going to be a servant to God. Young people, listen to me. If you can't esteem others, each other,
yes,
better than yourself, if you're not willing to do without,
yep,
for that other,
yep,
can I use y'all? Because they are getting married here in just a few months. Brother Alex, if you're not willing to do whatever you can to make her happy,
yep,
without being taken advantage of. See, little stipulation in there because sometime one or the other will say, oh, they give me anything I want. I want a new car. I want a new dress. I want a new house. I want new shoes. I want a new. And if you should feel the same way toward him, because without, Brother Tracy, without that kind of, this will be real rocky roads right here. Me and my wife don't fuss, and we don't argue. I asked her before we got married, I said, are you going to want to fuss? I said, if you do, let's call this off right now. I did. I told her. I already knew her daddy was kind of on the edge. He had guns. Wasn't a nice man. Well, we're talking about his baby girl. I understand it now. He didn't trust me a bit. Coming there with long hair. Nothing like what Brother Leroy says, okay? Every time Brother Leroy tells that story, my hair gets longer and longer and longer.
I'm telling you,
to hear him tell it, my hair was right down below my knees right now. But until you learn to be a servant to each other, you'll not appreciate each other. But Mike, if we, me and her, ma'am, she's coming home tomorrow. She's been gone since Monday. I'm kind of excited about seeing her. I told her today, I like that thing called Marco Polo. I can see her talking to me.
Yeah.
Y'all know what I'm talking about? Have you ever seen it? You know what I'm talking about? I ain't got something new that nobody don't know about, do I? Okay. Y'all got it? Yeah, you have someone to talk to me is what it is. Y'all think I'm a dinosaur. I said, when you come home tomorrow, I said, let's go out and eat. Me and you. No grandchildren. She said, okay. Now we're going to have a real issue. Tomorrow night we're going to have an issue, me and her. Deciding on where we're going to eat. I said, what you want? She said, I don't care what you want. I don't care, honey bun. What do you want? She's like, I don't care either, darling. What do you want? You see my eyebrows? No, it ain't like that. That was a scene out of an Andy Griffith show. Y'all must not have seen that. If it don't work well in the beginning, hey, Young lady, if you've got your eyes on some little old boy that pouts when he don't get his way.
Help us now.
Or young lady, young boy. Did I say young lady or young boy? What did I say? I said both. Young lady. I said young lady. Old lady. I said old lady. See, they don't like me. They're trying to trick me up here. Well, whichever the other one was, if that gal from Alabama pouts because you don't do what she wants, give her a flying drop kick.
Amen.
Hey, she'll ruin your life.
Right.
I don't think that gal will. She's a nice, she's a sweet young lady, by the way. Man, man, Moses went through some things that was just unbelievable. And God was with him.
Yeah. Come here.
Look what happened. Look what happened right here. The sister is standing afar off. She wanted to know what was going to happen. You know what she's going to do? She's going to run an interference. Whoever found him, she was going to run down and go, "You got a baby? You want me to do something to help? Can I help? Would you like me to go find a Hebrew woman?" And the whole time, she's looking down. You ladies that might have a younger brother, you would know how she'd have felt. Kristen used to pet and pamper Jared. Jared was 12 years old, and Kristen would get him out of the car while he's asleep and carry him in the house. 12 years old. Feet dragging the ground. Looked like a cat carrying a kitten. You know what Jared would do? He just let her carry him. He just dragging along. I said, "I'd drop that sucker right out in the yard. I'm telling you right now, 12 years old, that boy can walk." That whole thing was set up by God. You hear me? Because Moses was God's man. And she said, "Yes, find me a Hebrew woman. Not just a woman, but the woman." Don't you know that was a happy woman when she said? And then she says, "Please, just take. Let's take care of him. Just nurse him, if you will, and I'll pay you your wages." Ain't God good? Hey, could we say this tonight? God was with Moses. Wow. Moses just, his whole life is, we don't have time, but his whole life was filled with question marks like, how come God didn't do something right there? Why didn't God deal with Moses whenever Moses killed that man and buried him in the sand? I mean, there's people looking on, there's witnesses. Instead, Moses just goes on, Brother Gary. He finds his future father-in-law to be's family out there dipping water, feeding the flocks, watering the flocks. And he said, "I think I'll just help. Can I tell you young men something? If you see somebody working, this will help your character a little bit. Just whatever they're doing, jump in there and help them. In the line of work. Now, if they're selling dope, don't help them, okay? Don't go that direction. Don't. But if they're working, just jump in there and help them. It'll help the character. You know why a lot of young men don't work? They ain't never seen their parents work. Now, I mean, you might have a job that Sir, I'm Look, Gary, you might have a job that you sit at a desk all day long. I don't think I'm describing his job. I am? Oh, my. You might have one of the jobs you just sit at a desk all day long. I'd quit that job more. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But your family, your boys, would never see that. I've heard women say, my husband don't love me, don't never do nothing for me. But he goes to work every day. He brings groceries to the house. He might not know how to say I love you in the mushy way you want to hear it. But he's faithful on his job. Just God's being with you by giving you a provider, ma'am. School started back. God's stirring these hearts down here.
Amen.
Getting them excited about the Lord. You know what the last thing you need? Some of the last thing you need. John Owen, the last thing you need right now is a girlfriend.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Thank you, son. Amen. He said that's the last thing he'll get. Or you. Or you. Or you. Let me get up here where the ladies are. Or you. Is it not important to you to have good fellowship with God? To lay this foundation in your life?
Yeah.
Now, listen. It don't bother me when a fellow gets a little bit older and finds him a girlfriend. That don't bother me. I think he ought to. Praise God, in this day and hour, I'm tickled to death that he chose a woman. Amen. Felt like I was all alone right there for a minute there, Brother Jeff. It got quiet, didn't it? When Moses was grown, he went out and looked into his brethren and looked on their burdens. And he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. Do you know how long I've heard people preach about Moses killing a man? You know what Moses was doing? He was standing up for his own. You know what we do? We don't stand up for our own. I'll never forget the day. Marquise, he come in here one Wednesday night, and he said, Preacher, Brother Mark, he talks real fast, you know. He said, Preacher, I just want you to know, somebody come to the commissary this week. He says, and boy, he said, they just went to talking bad about the church and talking bad about you. He said, I told him, you might as well get on out of here.
Yep. Yes, sir.
You know what he was doing? He was defending his own.
Right.
He's not even a member here. He likes it here.
Amen.
And when he's not working and things okay, he'd come here. And he loves me. And he don't leave this church when he's here, Brother Mike, without saying, if you need me for anything, call me.
Yes, sir.
He said, I shut that whole thing down. He said, it's all bad about you. He said, I stopped. He said, you might as well get on out of here.
Yeah. Amen.
You know what he's doing? He's standing up for his own.
Amen.
You know what Moses was doing? He was standing up for his own. And guess who was with him when he was standing up for his own?
Amen.
He said, but he killed a man. You don't know what that man done.
Right.
That man might have been reaping some just dues of his time.
Right.
And God used this man over here to take care of that problem. So we forget sometimes how God works things out.
Amen.
And the Lord was with him. And the Lord was with him. And the Lord was with him. All the way down, Brother Danny, to the end of his life.
Right.
And the Lord was with him. Because the Lord buried him.
Right.
Where did he bury him? It don't matter.
Amen.
We don't know. And guess who else don't know? The devil.
Amen.
That's why Micah and the devil got in that little confrontation because the devil wanted to know where he was so that he could just mutilate, devour the body of Moses. I'm glad tonight that God knows where I am, Mother Darnell.
Amen.
He knew what I went through today. He knew what all happened. He knows what tomorrow's all about.
Amen.
He still expects me to get up and do some work. He don't expect me to lay in the bed till 12 o'clock.
Amen.
I got stuff I got to do. He don't expect you to lay around and pray for some angel to bring you a cake. You didn't even get that, did you? Angel food, cake. He expects to see you put forth some effort while He's taking care of you in the midst of your life.
Yes.
As He was with Moses, so shall He be with Joshua.
Yes,
Joshua. 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 Our Joshua died on the cross.
Yes, sir.
Laid down His life. Lay down His life. He said, no man taketh my life from me, but I lay it down. And as sure as He laid it down, Brother Alex, 3 days later, He didn't lay it down on Friday. You can't lay it down on Friday and get the math to work on that one. And rise on the first day of the week. But He laid it down, and He took it up again. And just as sure as He took it up again, just as sure as He laid it down, just as sure as He hung on that cross, God the Father was with Him. Just as sure as He was in the River Jordan when John baptized Him, He said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. The Father was with Him. The Joshua that rescued me and you. Whenever he come down off the mountain, listen, on the Mount of Transfiguration, He's up there in a glorified body with Moses and Elijah. So where's Moses at? Well, the last time anybody seen him, he was up on the mountain. He went down in the valley. He wasn't in the grave. Listen, the Lord promised to be with him. And whatever I go through, and whatever you go through, and whatever we face tomorrow, and whatever we face next week, and whatever's on your plate right now that is so big, it's so heavy, that you think you can't handle it, God knows it. And He will take you through it. And don't step out there in no kind of crazy foolishness and expect God to rescue you out of fleshly activities. I'm talking about in serving the Lord. Tomorrow, Brother Mike, I believe with all my heart, you stand up there to preach Miss Lucille Chance's funeral, I believe God will be with you. I believe that. Being a servant for the Lord. Serving God. That's what we're supposed to do, Brother Danny. But He leads and we follow.
Amen.
He leads and we follow.
Amen.
Let's do something for Him.
Yes.
Let's give Him everything.
Yes.
Hey, I'm telling you, He'll give you a shout. He'll give you a shout. He'll give you a little bit of joy in your heart. Amen. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Too many weak Christians because they ain't no joy. What's happened? The devil has distracted their mind. Taking their strength. Just stole it. If you're sitting here tonight, you ain't got no joy. The devil's real nigh to you. He's real close to you. He stole your joy. He stole your strength. You ought to be glad tonight. Thank God you ain't going to hell no more. We stood up there yesterday and they said, oh, you preachers, stand up and tell us where you are. And we stood up and I stood there for just a minute. Brother Joe told where he's from. Brother Don Gibbs told where he's from. And he said, Brother Edward. I said, Brother Edward Dixon from St. Mary's, Georgia, Camden Baptist Church. I'm saved. And I'm not going to hell. and I'm not mad about it. There's about three of them. I want to say, yeah, y'all mad about it. I can see it on your face. The joy of the Lord. It's our strength. We're to thank God. Thank God that He's moving in our heart and in our church and our life. Thank God in the soul service, God is doing something. Thank God for all these young people getting in church on Wednesday night. I mean that. Thank God, Brother Gary. Amen. Amen. These girls ain't standing on a street corner. Amen. These boys ain't selling dope to try to get what they got to have. Thank God they're in church. Mom and Daddy, thank God they're in church. They're in church. They're in church. What to rejoice about that. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand together.